So this morning, I do want to release a teaching to you, and I really want to flow from last week, amen, and it's going to be the conclusion of Apostle Charlie and my series dealing with living life on purpose. Living life on purpose. And Apostle's going to release one more teaching to close out the series, but if you write that down, we're going to jump into the word living life on purpose, amen. And so when we look at living life on purpose, even on last week, you all remember last week, I dealt with the dark side. Oh, I dealt with that shadow. Yes, I did. I need a few parents and kids to just get ready. Just get ready in a few seconds. It wasn't planned, but it's just something in my spirit. But it was a teaching that I pray has opened the eyes to self-deliverance in a greater way. Amen. And so we acknowledge and we admitted some things concerning our shadow that's following us everywhere we go. But how many of you know by the end of the service, deliverance took place? Deliverance took place. Praise report, mother, I received a call throughout the week, maybe on Tuesday. Young people, you need to hear this. And the young lady said, Pastor, I'm dealing with a situation. And on Friday, before Sunday service, Prophet Woodbury, she says, I called the doctor and told him I needed a prescription because my nerves. I just need to make sure that I have something on standby in case my nerves get to acting up. So by Tuesday when she called me, Celia, she said, I'm here to tell you, Pastor, after Sunday's deliverance service, I haven't even had to fill the prescription. It's still sitting on the counter. I've been calling on the powerful name of Jesus, and somehow, some way, Pastor, my nerves have been calmer than they've ever been. Somebody better shout self-deliverance. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so when you look at last week, I dealt with getting in touch with our shadow, did we not, James? And what I saw was if we position ourselves, Gail and Sharika, a couple of you all just come real quick. When we position ourselves, you know, everybody has that shadow. Look on the floor. You can see the shadow. You're with your child, one child, or two children, three children. If you got five children, bring them all. Hallelujah. Amen. Just bring them all. Bring them all. And so I talked about this, just a recap. When you position yourself just right in the light. Hey, didn't we? We talked about how that shadow falls behind you. Y'all just line up right here if you would. Mothers in front of the children. Amen. And the children line up behind them. And we talked about how if we keep looking behind us at our shadow, we talked about how Lot's wife turned and kept looking back. Remember that? And what she was looking back at was a wicked city called Sodom. Remember that? Right when God's angel said, whatever you do, flee to the high place. Don't keep looking back at the low plains. Don't keep looking back at the valley, the places you come up out of and supposed to be going higher. But what did Lot's wife do? She and her nose itself just had to keep looking back at the wickedness of the town and the city. And how many of you know that's what we find ourselves doing sometimes? We just keep looking back. Well, what they doing look good. Well, all that hurt and pain of my past, and we continue to look back at that dark shadow. But when we stay positioned just right in the light, turn this way, Elder. Come right here, Sharika. If we stay just right in the light, watch this. It's not even about us. Turn around, baby. Come here. Uh-huh. Turn around, baby. Mm-hmm. Watch this. It ain't about you. We thought it was about us. Uh-huh. Yeah, we did. But how many of you know now our children can't even see that shadow because we're so focused on the light that our shadow overtake and overshadows their darkness, and they ought not have to go through the hell that we went through. They ought not go through the rebellion and the disobedience and the frustration, the anger, the rage, the bitterness, the unforgiveness that we have gone through because our shadow overshadows them. He can turn around and be like, oh, where is my shadow? Wow, the anointing of my mother, the anointing of my father overshadows my pain, overshadows my hurt, overshadows my dark past. Somebody say generational blessings. Thank you, family. Thank you, family. One, two, three, four generations, hallelujah, are tied into us. Somebody say unborn generations are tied into me. And one thing I saw with Lot's wife, baby, when she kept turning back, looking on Sodom, A lot of people don't know this. You need to read Genesis 19 because this city was so wicked. Now let me tell you something. It breaks down how the two angels came to the gate of the city and they found Lot. And so the angel of the Lord came and the two men, Lot brought him into his home, prophet, said, stay with me, I'll feed you and I'll take care of you. Go to Genesis 19 and jump on down to verse 5. When the people in the town heard that Lot had brought in two men, look at what it says. It says they called out to Lot, where are the men who came to you tonight? Watch what they say in this wicked city that we keep looking back on and wanting to do what they do, and we find ourselves engaging in darkness. It says, bring them out to us so that we may have sex with them. Come on, the men in the town were so wicked, they wanted to have sex with the angels that Lot brought in the house. And Lot was willing to give his daughters up in place of the men of God. Come on, but the men of God said, no, no, we're going to break the door down and we're going to get in and we want to have sex with these. This is how wicked this town is. And this is what Lot's wife was looking back on. Curiosity, somebody say, killed the cat. And she turned into a pillar of salt, did she not? And so we have to be careful on how we look back on the things in our life that are wicked, not only the lot in our life, but somebody say even in this world. Somebody say this wicked world. So we live in life on purpose. We're doing good, but we have to write this down. Be careful that we don't look back. Also, in recap, we dealt with the dark side. We dealt with the need to admit that there's a dark side or else God can't deal with that side of our lives. We keep it covered. We keep it concealed. Come on, but it's only until somebody say, expose the work of the enemy. Amen. Some people say, well, Pastor, I don't tell anybody any of my business. Well, maybe that's why you're still in bondage to the situation. When the word says, if any two or three come together in my name, come on, I'm going to be in the midst. Hallelujah. So, yes, we have the power of God, but we have to be able to receive the counsel, amen, of men and women of God as well. Amen. We also looked at, in recap, we dealt with there are some blinders that must come off of our eyes. Remember that? Distorted ways of seeing and viewing matters. You know, can't nobody tell me nothing. You can't trust nobody these days, not even the pastors anymore. You're reading all this stuff on social media and videos we're looking at, and it brings us to a distorted view, come on, of the man and the woman of God, the prophetic voice of God that's able to break you out of the bondage and the shackles just by, somebody say one word. One word. And this is a subtle attack of the enemy to degrade and belittle the man and the woman of God. But do I have anybody in here that can still honor the voice of God that's speaking through his prophet, that can say to you in the name of Jesus that the power and the authority that's already given unto you, now is your season to rise up and take back everything that the enemy thought he had claimed in your life? It is so. It is so. So we also said that even after we get saved, there's some serious deliverance that must still take place. Can I get a witness? There are some mute buttons over our ears that must be unmuted so that we can hear what the Spirit of God is not only speaking, but what is he warning us against? He's guiding us and he's directing us, is he not? So be careful that the spirit of pride don't rest upon our lives. Where can't nobody tell us, or we can't receive anything? Let me say this. If it doesn't feel good and it hurts and it pulls you beyond where you're comfortable, 10 times out of 10, that's God speaking and pulling and warning you. If you're engaged in something that feels so good to the flesh, and to stop saying or doing or going is like a ripping away, and you're crying and you're like, I don't want it, I'm not gonna. 10 times out of 10, that's God trying to take you to that higher place. Somebody say amen. And yes, it comes also from the man and the woman of God. Let me say, that's a sign to your life. Amen. And that's what Family and Friends Day is all about. Tapping into a house of faith that's operating, and it's no shame in the game, operating in a level of faith that's higher than where we are. Because if we don't tap into a house that's operating and believing God beyond where we are, somebody say, I'm going to just stay where I am. How many of us want to go and grow? Amen. How many of us want to go and grow? Glory to God. And so in this deliverance process, just give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Am I teaching okay? If you can't grab all the notes, amen, we have CDs available. We also have this available, somebody say, with via a seed into our missions account, our missions fund. Amen. As you heard, we have Henry and Karen viewing from Uganda. And so we seed into them on an ongoing basis. So when you're blessed by the word, we do ask you to click the donate button and just sow into the missions fund. Amen. We got a fund for everything else. College fund, retirement fund, emergency fund. Come on. I glory to God that we have a missions fund. Hallelujah. Because we've tapped into, somebody say, the heart of God. The heart of God. Don't that make sense? Amen. Amen. So in this deliverance process comes sincere admittance of the dark side. We talked about this dark side being unhealthy. Unhealthy thoughts and emotions. Feelings, actions, reactions, words, motives, and intentions. We even talked about there's a healthy and an unhealthy side to everything, didn't we? We said there's a healthy, I'm going to just do one. There's a healthy and an unhealthy side to frustration. Yeah, I get frustrated, but you know what? The healthy side of my frustration will cause me to do better. Watch this. That's healthy. So we can't say everything's the devil. Some stuff is just natural and it's healthy to pull on us. But then there is an unhealthy side of frustration that somebody say will cause you to give up. Quick and in a hurry. Am I right? So we as believers have to be able to discern between, somebody say, the healthy and the unhealthy. Amen? So the healthy side will promote growth and prepare our mind for action. Amen. It will prepare our mind for action. And how many of you know that's simply warfare? That's warfare. And this warfare is necessary because when, not if, Denise, y'all taught me at an early age, not if the unhealthy side kicks in, but when the unhealthy side kicks in, we know the difference and can war against the spirit of frustration. Come on. It's now not just a feeling and an emotion. Now the unhealthy side becomes a demonic, evil attack to cause me to what? Give up on the things of God. Give up on my purpose for living. Anybody ever discern the two? Amen. And this teaching is necessary, Teacher John and Teacher Beverly, because the children are in the house. And we can only give what we got. And if our children, Mother Kay and Mother Rhonda, keep seeing us frustrated and giving up, then the shadow that's going to reflect on their life, come on, y'all, is going to be a shadow of cycles of defeat. Giving up on every goal that God releases them to pursue. And so we have to let them know, baby, mama frustrated, but it's making me go and do better. It's making me to work this until, come on, the Spirit of God moves in a mighty way. Amen. 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 So today, somebody say today, for just a few minutes, I'm going to pick up with living life on purpose. Write this down. I'm saved, comma, now what? I'm saved, comma, now what? And I'm going to teach it. We're going to get through it. We're going to teach it. I'm not coming back a third week. Somebody say, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And so when you begin to look at this unhealthy side, are you with me? This unhealthy side, those eight characteristics I lifted up, thoughts and actions and words and motives, intentions, it poisons the mind and promotes destruction, mainly within relationships, which is the very area Christ came to restore. Amen. And so our relationship with the Father through the Son is essential. Amen. And our relationship with mankind, can I say this? Both saved. Say it again. Both saved and relationships with saved and. So we can't put ourselves in a bubble. Am I right? Okay, I just want to make sure I'm in the right house, right? We can't put ourselves in the bubble. We got to come outside the bubble. Because the light of God that's on us has to shine on the darkness that's what? Somebody say around us. And so why do we think people get so easily offended? The enemy trying to sever relationships. It's the enemy's subtle attempt to destroy relationships. Watch this, before they can even get off the ground good. He come in, look, we just say, hey, how you doing? Girl, you done lost some weight. What she say? I was fat before. The relationship ain't even got off the ground yet. I ain't talking to her no more. She had the nerve to say, I look like I lost some weight. What she trying to say? I was fat before. Can't even get the relationship off the ground. It's the enemy's subtle way. Subtle way. Come on, y'all. Of bringing in an offense before the relationship, that which I need to pour into you, man or woman of God, has already been severed and destroyed. Because your ear is not open to hear anything else I have to say. Come, that's a hand clap right there, y'all. We're going to open up some eyes. It's not God's desire, and it never has been, for us to conform and start, I'm not even going to say, dress like, look like, smoke like, curse like. I'm not going to say that. People going to think I'm going to say that it's not God's desire for us to conform and start looking like and dressing like and smoking like. And nope, I'm not going to say that. But what I am going to say is it's not God's desire, never has been, for our mind to conform back to the old way of thinking, desiring, and yearning after the things that the unsaved desire, think, and yearn for. It's not his desire for our mind to go back. How many of you know the heart pure is gold? It's the mind that's the battleground. So that's why I say it's not God's desire for our mind to go back and start yearning for the things that the unsaved yearn for. Write down Proverbs 23 and 7. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now write down Romans 12 and 2. These are scriptures that when you want to come out of darkness and walk in light, you have to memorize these scriptures. Yeah, we'll stop thinking crazy thoughts. Because if we think we defeated, we'll realize I am defeated. If we start thinking I don't like my husband, then I'm going to start not liking my husband. Yeah, whatever as a man thinketh, so is he. What are we thinking? So write down Romans 12 and 2. It says we're called to transform and renew their mind, the unsaved, the unbeliever. We're called to transform and renew their mind, their way of thinking and doing and desiring, not to conform to the way they see a thing and not conform to the way they do a thing. Am I right about it? Some people have a problem referencing the unsaved as the world. How many of you know that? We all part of this world. And they end up getting, they think they legitimately have a problem with us referencing the unsaved as the world. So then I say they have a problem with the word of God. Go to Romans 12 and 2. I asked you to go there. I mean, let's just read what the word says. This is an instruction to the believers, the saved. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of, somebody say, your mind. All right? Look at, well, you may not be able to go there, but I want to reference 1 John 4. And I want to read this because it has power in it. It really does. It says, you, my dear children, you can write it down as 1 John 4 and 4. You, my dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Somebody say, the world. It says, they are from the world, and therefore they speak from the viewpoint of the world. And the world listens to them. How many times have we referenced the word world? And then it says, but we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth, come on, that's in us speaking, come on, and the spirit of falsehood that's in the world speaking through them. Amen? Amen. So the bottom line is we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We don't accept the viewpoints of the world. Amen. And we don't conform, somebody say, to the world. That's why Raj opened up talking about light and darkness, because God had it in his word today. Amen. And so let's go one step further. Write down John 17. I do want to hit this. If you're able to go there, go there. Amen. Everybody all right? Amen. Jesus prays in John 17 to his Father on behalf of his disciples. Do we have any disciples in the house? Any disciples of Christ in the house? I really need to see your hand, because my goal, Deacon Ann, Dr. Peck, is by the end of the service, if you're not a disciple, the power of God's word is going to disciple you. Amen? Into a relationship with the one who has the power and authority to bring you up out of. Amen? And so a lot of people want to raise our hands. We raise our hands to be called a disciple of Christ. But do we understand that a disciple is one who lives a disciplined life? Some people are like, I don't put my hand down. I don't know about this disciple thing. I like doing what I like doing. I like going where I like going. I like acting, talking, and thinking how I like acting, talking, and thinking. Be disciplined according to the word of God. Well, how many disciples of Christ do we have in the house now? How many? Give God praise then if you're a disciple. And you're even receiving the discipline, come on, of his word today. I commend us. I commend us, Teacher Gray. We're here because we're saying, I don't know it all. I'm believing God that there's going to be a word that's going to what? Propel me and take me higher. Take me higher. Amen. Amen. And so when we look at it in this particular passage, John 17, go to verse 14, please. Here's what he says in his prayer, and I'm going to read it. It says, I have given them your word. You're my disciples. I have given them your word. Come on. And the world has hated them for this. So can we just nullify, I don't think they like me. They don't like you. The unsaved, unbelieving world views don't like you. Because you're coming in trying to restore and bring Christ back to something that the enemy came in and corrupted and destroyed. No, they don't like you. Somebody say, but I don't care. Anybody say, I don't care. All right, that's the attitude I'm looking for. Y'all make sure I'm in the right house. I don't care. Right? You don't have to like me, but there is a shield of faith in Christ that's around me. Let me keep going. You're going to get sidetracked, Charlotte. See? Oh, let me get sad. Here it is. It says, and they hated them for this. It says, here it is, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. He says to God, my prayer is that, watch this, that you don't take them out the world. Don't take them out. I need them in here. But that you protect them from the evil one. Don't let the enemy get the best of them. That was his prayer. Shield and protect them in the power of my name. Amen. And let me read this. It says, they are not of this world, even as I am not of it. Here's what he says in 17. Sanctify them by the truth. Come on, sanctify, cleanse them. Set them apart. Come on, by the truth in your word. It says, for your word is truth. Verse 18. As you have sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world. Amen. And it says, for them I sanctify myself, that, watch this, they too, somebody say, may truly be sanctified. Amen. Somebody just shout, living life on purpose. Somebody say, I'm saved. Now what? Amen. Now what? We're going to deal with those unhealthy thoughts. Amen. On the dark side. I want to open up with this particular scripture as well, Matthew 5 and 14. See, when a teacher teaches, a teacher's going to reference scripture, because we all should come with notepad and Bible and be prepared to what? A hoop and a holler is not going to break a generational curse. Say yeah for 20 minutes. Say yeah. Say yeah. Yeah to what? A hoop and a holler is not going to break a generational curse. But the wisdom and the knowledge of God's word, come on, where you say the buck stops here and the shadow of God will overtake my children and they won't have to go through the hell that I went through. Somebody say, because of the blood. Because of the blood. And if I don't get to it, make sure you memorize Philippians 2 and 10. It's all in the name of Jesus. Hebrews 9 and 14 is all about the blood of Jesus. Don't let nobody, I can say this, Pop, I'm talking about the world. Don't let anybody in the world tell you that you don't need Christ in any arena or particular arenas of your life. Don't let them tell you that. Married couples, don't let them tell you take Christ out the bedroom. You better bring Christ with you in the bedroom. Take Christ out the finances and split them checking accounts. You better bring Christ and keep that checking account unified. Come on, there's so much more I'll deal with later. Am I right about it? Don't let them tell you, honey, just give your child a chance to smell himself. No, he's going to smell himself all right. But what he smells is going to be the sanctified blood of Jesus and that anointing oil that's falling off his pillow at night, transforming the way he think and do a thing. That's what he's going to smell. One Pastor Nisha had so much oil in the man's boot, he slid out the boots trying to go to work past the chamber like, what in the world, all this oil in my boot? Nisha done went and poured the whole bottle. Said, that devil coming up out of him, now he's a pastor in North Carolina proclaiming the word of God with power and authority. Don't tell me I need to take Christ out of my life. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. Come on. Because it's only that which is anchored in Christ that's going to stand. It's only the foundation that's built on Christ. Right, Mama Rhonda? That gets you to where you are. That's why women of wisdom, stand to your feet. I need the visitors to see y'all. Women and men of wisdom, wave your hand, Pop. Come on. It's on. Come on. This is who, where we get this crazy teaching from. These men and women of wisdom will keep Apostle and I rooted in the word of God. They're not afraid to say, honey, the women going out in left field. Well, then I need you to come and teach us the way that we ought to be anchored and rooted in this Christ Jesus. Amen. So we thank God for these men and women of wisdom. I asked you to turn to Matthew 5:14. Hallelujah. Are we there? Are we there? And I'm going to move on. Y'all tell Apostle leave me alone up here. Whew. See, he done had me on that trail running. First season ever we've been running. So I come out the gate running in rare form. It's hard for me to just stay still. But it's something about his word that I know for too long. We have not regurgitated the word. We regurgitated the world's view. And now the believers are falling prey to the viewpoints and the ways of the world. We're not transforming. We're conforming. But God told me the buck stops here and you're going to be my ambassador to go before the people and proclaim what thus saith the Lord. So y'all better pray for me. Because the enemy, he about mad at me right about now. Yeah, he got a headache and hell is nervous, but it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Amen. So Matthew 5:14, let's run through this. Amen. Jesus, you are the light of the world. Here it is. A town built on a hill. There's that high place again. Cannot be hidden. Neither do people put a lamp or light a lamp and put it under a bowl. We don't light a lamp and put it under the bowl. It says instead, they put it on its stand. There's another high place. It gives light to everyone in the house. Verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others. How many of you know they watching? Oh, they watching. They might be watching out of one eye open, one eye closed to make you think they ain't looking. Boy, they looking and they waiting. Okay. And it says that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Amen. Write down John 1 and 4. And I'm going to deal with the light in a few minutes. John 1 and 4 also speaks of the light. 1:4, John 1:4, in him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. That's how you know that the unsaved deserve the same invitation and offer to tap into the light that we did. That's where the corrupt teaching of we're all in the world. No, we're all part of mankind. They didn't, the enemy like, let me just mess them up, confuse them, how I'm saying some crazy stuff. The believers will believe it. So now we say, well, we're all in the world. No, we're not. It says we're all part of mankind. We're all part of God's creation. We're all entitled to what? Receiving the light of Jesus Christ. But we're not all accepting the views of the world. Amen? So let's look at this verse. It says, light of all mankind, verse 5, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. So that tells me darkness will never be able to comprehend and understand how the light operate. Amen? So stop trying. Let me say, family and friends, let's stop trying to make them comprehend and understand how the light operates. They'll never understand it. But when one thing is for sure, when light enters into a dark room, it expels the darkness. Am I right about it? And people aren't bold enough to talk about me in my face when I walk into a dark room. When they're gossiping and talking about the supervisor and the boss or talking about the pastor, I have to stay on both sides of the fence because we brought in the church, what's happening in corporate America and the military. So now when we walk into a room and folk talking about the pastor and the teacher and why they got to do this and why they got to do that and why they can't do this and why they can't do that, when the light walks into that dark spirit, amen, then darkness should be expelled and all hell ought to shut up because light has come into the room now. The light of God's love, the light of obedience, come on, the light of humility, the light of sacrifice, come on, all of this has entered into the room. So whatever is being said or done ought to cease to exist when we walk into the room. We got to examine. Now let me say this real quick. If we walk into a room and darkness is prevailing, and it continues to prevail, and we call ourselves light and walked in the room, but there's no light and there's no change, something wrong. Something is wrong, because now darkness has gotten to a place where they're so bold now that they'll try to keep on talking. So the enemy wants us to sit down on our anointing and say, tolerate it, accept it, put up with it, or just get out. I don't know about you, but that's when I'm going to rise from my place of sleep and rest, and I'm going to start speaking, not to the person, but I'm going to start speaking to the spirit that's at work in the person. And they be, why are you so quiet, Vicky? Oh, I ain't quiet. If you only knew, in my spirit, boy, I'm commanding you, I'm ripping you, I'm tearing that spirit of gossip into pieces, and I ain't leaving till I see it cease. Same thing with the family. Same thing with the family. I tapped into what, Mayor? AB honor roll? But because I knew that the children are supposed to do greater, Jeremiah's working on his third straight A report card with two honors classes. How do you do that? You teach them that when the teacher ain't speaking on your level, you begin to speak to that spirit of confusion and you begin to say, man, line up so that I can perceive and comprehend what this woman is saying. All right? You see what I'm saying? And don't, if I don't give up, and apostle don't give up until we see results, how many of you know your children won't give up until they see the same results that they see you trusting God for? Give God a praise. We're going to jump on. Give him praise. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying. I wish I could have did straight A's. Did you do straight A's, babe? He said sometimes. Hey, look, when y'all go in the reception hall, ask him when was those sometimes that he made straight A's. Oh, yeah, yeah, he did that 4.0 in college. Sure did. Well, praise the Lord. He broke the way. He opened up the way for you, Jeremiah. Did you know that? It's Family and Friends Day. 4.0 sitting before you. You didn't have a choice but to do the same. Hallelujah. It's good to laugh in the house of God. Amen. Amen. And so when God downloads in us, we as the light, we have to understand we have direct access to the throne of God through our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't have to go through anybody or anything to get to the God on the throne other than what? His son, faith in his son, Jesus Christ. And this is something that unsaved don't have. The unsaved don't have this direct access until they pray. You got to understand this because they may say, how did you get it so good? They can have it just as good. Just make sure they understand God will begin hearing you when you first pray the sinner's prayer. Amen. Humble yourself and admit that something is wrong in your life, the sin in your life you want to change. Just pray this sinner's prayer with me, prayer of salvation. So, no, they can't understand the peace that we have in the midst of our storm. They can't understand the love we have even when people talk about us behind our back. And we turn around loving on them, giving them gift cards and flowers and fruit baskets. And that. But then he just talk about you and call you Eric. Then they just scrutinize your church and ridicule your name. Yeah, you loving them and hugging them and you're there for them when they need you. Somebody say, that's the way it's supposed to be. And the world can't understand. They can't understand how we can forgive people when they scandalize our name all in the street. Come on, but we forgive them because what? We want the Father to forgive us when we slip up. Okay, so the light needs to be able to comprehend and understand how to deal with darkness, amen, or else it can overtake us as a believer. And instead of standing on the Word of God, we'll find ourselves wavering and compromising our faith for the faith of the unsaved. Now, let me say, the unsaved do have faith in something and somebody. They do. And their objective is to get us to cross over. Crossing over is synonymous with compromising. They want us to cross over and compromise to their views. Am I right? Write this down. It says, we are the salt, according to that scripture. Amen. We are the salt. Yeah, we may get out early today. Hallelujah. Because you all have been excellent students. Has anybody been blessed by the teaching so far? Hallelujah. Thank you, Raul. Thank you. Hallelujah. So it says, we are the salt. We're agents of restoration called to cleanse and purify this earth. Yeah, we are salt. Think about salt. Circle the word salt. Google the word salt and look it up. Matthew 5 and 13, we are the salt of the earth. It's not PV, it's in the word. Watch this. Somebody say, I'm the salt. Come on, y'all, put a big smile on your face. I know it's hot. It's hot up here. Is it hot out there, too? It's hot. Whew. We might have to invest in some fans, Elder. We have to invest in some fans at RCC. Put a little logo on it. Can't y'all see it? Whew. It's hot up here, Margie. Apostle Charlie said, you just said, don't go. Now, you talking about some fans. Amen. Matthew 5:13, you are the salt. We are the salt of the earth. Watch this. It sounds so good. If we could just stop there. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Question mark. It says in the word, for it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. So guess what? That tells us, family and friends, that we can lose our saltiness. We can lose our saltiness. And the opposite of restoring, being an agent of restoration, is destroy, being an agent of destruction. Amen. And we become agents of destruction by tearing down the biblical truths and rebuilding it based on false doctrine. Amen? False doctrine. And that's why we have to know what the Word of God says. Somebody say, for myself. Amen. I'm going to give you some scriptures for homework, and prayerfully we'll be able to just study those over the course of time. And so we can become impure in our mind and our heart instead of purifying the earth. And we can't, I just want to dispel the beliefs of the enemy that we're immune. Amen. We can cross over and accept the unclean and impure behaviors if we're not careful to deal with these dark places in our mind. All right. I want to just give a quick scenario of what salt in the Bible represents. Is that okay? Because if we're the salt of the earth, what is this salt symbolic of? Is anybody curious? Anybody, I see you, anybody curious? What is this salt symbolic of? The role of the salt in the Bible is relevant to understanding a Hebrew society during both the Old and the New Testament time. Listen to this. Salt is a necessity of life and was a mineral that was used since ancient times in many cultures, watch this, as a seasoning. Come on, adding flavor. Come on top of what's already good. Come on, somebody say, I make things better. I make it better. Make it sound better, make it taste better. Can anybody, I make it look better, make it act better. That's what the soul's purpose of some salt does. It's used as a preservative. Preservative. Come on, that's why we talk about generational blessings. If we're just talking about me, my four, and no more, I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord, but my child is still waddling in misery, come on, and discontent, then the preservative nature of salt has not been edified in my life, right? So it's a preservative. It lasts. It's also, write this down, a disinfectant. Yep, seasoning, preservative, disinfectant. In particular, it was used for wounds. Think about something that's open and wounded and bleeding, okay? Like a matter of life or death. Like either if the salt comes in, watch this, it can disinfect and cleanse it. But if the salt don't come in, the world, the unsaved, the unbelieving, come on, their home is doomed and destruction and despair. So we are the salt to go in, somebody say, and disinfect the wounds of the world. Somebody's catching me on this. Amen. And so also some characteristics of salt. It signifies, I lifted up permanence, but it also signifies loyalty. Watch this, write this one down, durability. Any tough believers in here? Durable, come on, durable. Trustworthy, commitment, devotion, usefulness, value, and one additional is purification. So we as believers have to be careful that we don't lose, somebody say, our saltiness. Because when we do, when we lose our saltiness, we lose these characteristics. We lose these characteristics of Christ. Amen. And so in closing, I want us to just jot down a couple of scriptures. Teens, I know you may or may not have written down any of the scriptures because I know how you roll. You think you can just retain everything. You know, like I'll call back on it. You may be able to because you got it like that. But there are two scriptures in particular I do need you to jot down on a notepad, be it in your phone, be it on a piece of paper, be it on the back of your Social Security card. Amen. I do need you to write down Galatians 6 and 16. And the reason I have to lift this up is because I'm a believer, and you may be too. We can't be ignorant concerning the enemy's devices. Man, we're destroyed. And our children are destroyed. Our grandchildren are destroyed. When we talk about I'm saved now, what? Dealing with the dark side? Well, what are some of the characteristics of the dark side? So guess what? If we don't know what they are, we can never identify them as such. Am I right? And guess what? When we can't identify them as such in our lives, watch this, Elder Rod, what happened is our children come in the house with these characteristics, and because we didn't identify them in our life, we wonder, how in the world did you get to be so disobedient and rotten? And not realizing that this is something we should have known was an unhealthy attack of the enemy. So that we can say, oh, no, 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 come here, son. Matter of fact, I don't even need you to come here. You go on up to your room because I can handle my business a whole lot better when you don't know what I'm doing. You got to catch it when you relax. out of you. I shake it and I wake it up. I command in the name of Jesus that you will come up out of my son. You ain't got to go home, Satan, but you got to get up out of here. You got to get up out of here. Am I right about it? And don't even take it to the pigs in the parlor. Open up the window and say, you are now free to go. You're free to go. You're free to go. And when you're gone, thank you very much. Now let's enjoy the one life that God has called us to live on purpose. Give God praise if you're catching this. It's not your usual deliverance message, but it's the way that God gave it to me. Amen. So now in closing, write down Galatians 6:16. And yes, there are several more scriptures. Yes, there are. I'm not going to go over them all, but you'll be able to find some on your own. Where did I put it? Here we go. All right. It says, living life by the Spirit. You got to know what living life by the Spirit looks like. Amen. And what living a sinful life according to the sinful nature. Let's read it. It says, and I'm reading the NIV version. It's a little bit more easier for me to understand. You can't comprehend if you can't comprehend the vowels and the whereistus and all of that between the real words, get a version you can understand. Amen. Get a version you can understand. Because you finish reading and you're like, I don't know what I just read. I guess it'll sink in one day, and then what they say, one day never comes. Amen. So it says, so I say, watch this. Live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Repeat it with me, y'all. Live by the Spirit. All right. And you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. You with me, teens? And the Spirit, what is contrary to the sinful nature. Somebody say, that's the battle right there. The Spirit and the sinful nature. Somebody say, they fighting each other. Amen. Somebody's going to come out victorious. Amen. Somebody's going to be a winner. It says they are in conflict with one another. Watch this. So that you do not do what it wants. In verse 18, it says, but if you are led, somebody say, if. That's a big word. Two letters, but it's a big word. If you are led by the Spirit, watch this. You are not under the law. Amen. Verse 19, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Here we go. Highlight. I got it highlighted, y'all. It's in orange. Tagged, highlighted, and everything. Amen. Oh, Galatians 5. I'm sorry. Galatians 5:16. Thank you, babe. Thank you so much. So here we go. Now we're at Galatians 5:19. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, teenagers, crazy partying and wild nights, usually accompanied by a lot of alcohol. Can I say it again? Debauchery. Just Google it. People, I mean, we read past these words and then we go out and say, it's okay. It's okay because of ignorance. Ignorant of the enemy's devices. Debauchery, crazy partying and wild nights, usually accompanied by a lot of alcohol. Y'all better give God praise for the teenagers catching that. I'm believing they're going to catch it. No matter where you are, what you're doing, you're going to realize this is something that, I got to stay away from. Thank you. Amen. Let's keep going. It says idolatry, the worship of a physical object as a god. Come on. Immoderate or more than normal attachment or devotion to something. You can idolize your car. You can idolize those sneakers. Sit them up on that shelf and look at them every day and talk about how much I love them sneakers. And the sneakers get more love than God. Yeah, the sneakers get more attention than the word of God gets attention in our lives. Somebody say that's idolatry. Amen. It hurts, but it's the truth. Let's keep looking at them. It says witchcraft. Okay, that controlling spirit. That's why a lot of us had to come up out of traditional ministries that wanted to lock us down and put us in a box and tell us what to do and control the way we flow in the anointing. And we knew there's something not right with this. Come on. Liberty and freedom breaks us out of witchcraft. Hatred. Discord. Discord is defined as a lack of agreement or disagreement, amongst persons, groups, or things. Mm-hmm. Tension or strife resulting from the lack of agreement, and it's a confused, harsh sound. That's discord. Jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, no more than disagreements, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. It says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then verse 22 goes on to say what the fruit of the Spirit are. Amen. Write down Colossians 3. This is the last one. Amen. And then we're just going to believe God that the eyes have been opened and enlightened, and that hearts are going to just believe and receive God from this point forward in our lives. All right. Colossians 3 this time. Let's jump to verse 5. Here it is, teens. Please write Colossians 3 down. Verse 5. It instructs us to put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. It repeats a few. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. Greed. Greed for money, greed for anything is an excessive amount of greed, which is idolatry. Here it is. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. Watch this. Yeah, verse 7. Yes, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as anger, rage, malice, slander. Watch this. Filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to one another, since you have taken off the old self and its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. Amen. And verse 12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, this is what we are to replace. It says, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Watch this. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Amen. Amen. And so in this, we begin to see three powerful words. Christ, and through the Father, says, I forgive you. I forgive you of your sins. Am I right? And so these three powerful words, I forgive you, chances are that they are not even going to know when we do this exercise. I want us to do an exercise. Amen. You can put your Bibles up. But when you deal with forgiveness and wanting God to forgive you, amen, you can just put your stuff up and just think and meditate for a moment as I release this in closing. Amen. If there's anyone in here that's going to want to accept Christ into your life and ask him to forgive you of your sins, forgive you of your ignorance, forgive you of just not knowing, forgive you of releasing curses over your children's life because of lack of knowledge, the first thing you have to do is search your heart and make sure that you're not harboring any unforgiveness for someone else. And so what I'm going to ask you to do at this time is, if there's someone, just stand to your feet. Amen. Stand to your feet.